The character planted in the audience that you'd never expect to be on the payroll. And when she plays her big scene, she creates more heat than you could ever imagine. Now here's the secret. She's a stunt granny.
Grandkids, welcome to Stunt Granny 210. This week, I, Kevin, am obviously here, and with me is Mr. Dusty Giebink. How you doing, Dusty?
Oh, just call me Angel of the Morning, Angel.
Ooh. Is that a song? Because I am not familiar.
Oh, you hurt my feelings. Juice Newton covered it, made it famous in the 80s.
Oh. Yeah, no. I don't know. I guess, how long would I have listened to in the 80s? It had to have been on radio at some point. I mean, it wasn't like there was a gigantic variety.
Right.
On the radio. And I really didn't, I was definitely not into the heavy metal or punk at that phase of my life. That didn't roll around until about 15.
Okay.
Maybe a little bit earlier, because my older brother listened to it. But, yeah, I don't know why I don't know that song. I probably should.
Hmm.
Yeah, well.
in the car for family road trips and stuff, I feel like we probably had about 10 cassettes that were on pretty heavy rotation. Some of them more than others.
Mm-hmm.
And on the lighter side of the heavy rotation was Juice Newton Juice, which I think came out in 81 or 83. So.
Oh, outstanding.
Props to her. Yep.
Yeah, no, my family really didn't do music all that much. Like, my mom kind of likes oldies type stuff.
Okay.
But I think my love of surf music does trace back to her enjoying the Beach Boys quite a bit when I was younger.
Oh, so you are a surfing music fan. So you would disagree with John Milner on American Graffiti when the young girl asks him, aren't the Beach Boys boss? And he says, yeah, it's just surfing shit. So...
Yeah, well, fuck him. I was listening to a little Link Ray, actually, today at the gym. So.
Mm-hmm. Very nice.
Yep. Him, Dick Dale, The Ventures. Always like them because they do the, not the present intro to the modern-day Hawaii 5-0, but the original 5-0. They did the theme to that.
For as much as I credit myself on being a 60s aficionado, I don't know who's in the Ventures, but I have to say their guitar player is aces. Very good player.
I don't know who that is. And And, you know, I haven't listened in a while, but the Buddy Holly story, I watched that when I was a kid. And that got me into some of the older music there. I still have quite a collection of Buddy Holly stuff.
Oh, very cool. He was ahead of his time, a real music pioneer.
Yeah. And he kind of had, a little bit of a surfy sound to him.
Yeah, okay. I'll buy that.
You know, it wouldn't have been, I wouldn't call him surf music. But I think there's a lot of stuff that you can kind of trace back to him.
He's hard to pigeonhole. A lot of stuff in the late 50s was doo-wop, and he's certainly not doo-wop either.
No.
He's very hard to categorize. So. Which is to his credit.
Yes, it is. There. Do you just want your seat, dog? My dog was stalking me. She wanted her seat.
Oh, God. Usually when my dog stalks me, he wants outside.
Yeah, well, they got plenty of that here before before we got started here.
Yeah.
Well, we had no topic to really go off of.
Right.
Because fuck it, we're just trying something new. And
this is almost what we normally do anyway. We have a framework that gets blown up, so, but.
Yeah, well, there was one topic that did come up during our email session to figure who was free this week and who wasn't.
Yeah.
It was Survivor.
Guess who isn't free this week, by the way?
Oh.
Go figure.
Yes, it was unsurprising who was not free this week.
but anyway, we were talking about Survivor. This is one of my favorite seasons, I think, ever. I think it'd be top five. One season for me that would be in my top 10 would be season 2, the Australian Outback season. Why do I mention that season, Kevin?
Well, the only thing that I could put into any context Survivor, I loved the first season. The whole office watched it.
Yes.
So my boss had actually given me the blessing to go ahead and try out for Survivor, and if indeed I had gotten on there, I would have had a job upon my re-entry into society.
Interesting.
So I filmed along with some of my coworkers were the ones doing the filming.
Okay.
But we filmed a segment for myself to get on to Survivor 2 there.
Mm-hmm.
And I do still indeed have the tape, but it is VHS, because that was, if I'm not mistaken, that was 2000 when I would have been sending in my tape.
Okay.
I would think it would have been sometime this spring, because the zoo was open. Because it was in the Outback, I did a horrendous, g'day, mate. Australian accent for the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I said that I was going to take on one of the most fearsome creatures in all the Outback, and then we panned to this little baby kangaroo that couldn't have been any more than about 20 pounds.
Okay.
And then I pretended like I was going into the enclosure with the kangaroos, and then we had bought some fuzzy slippers over at Target.
Mm-hmm.
And so then I proceeded to get my ass kicked by the kangaroo, which obviously was the slippers, as I explained, like, my name and what I did, because there were, like, some requirements that, you know, you needed to get in there.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I did that and I sent it in. I know that they got it because we did it like literally the last day that you could send it in. We overnighted it.
Oh, wow. Okay.
But I have a copy of the whole thing in my basement, but I'd need to transfer it from VHS to some type of digital entertainment. I do not have those means currently.
That would be amazing. And that's something to keep under wraps for the time being. But how close were you to being on the show? Did you ever hear back, or was it just the audition tape?
Yeah, no, it was just the audition tape. I was a little disappointed, honestly, that they didn't send me anything.
Okay.
You know, I would have been cool with a thanks for the submission, generic letter that is stamped, signed. Like, I would have been like, okay, that's cool. You know, whatever, not a big deal. But
right.
No, didn't even get that. And that was not my, because I was joking with Jeremy about being bitter, and that's why I stopped watching. But I do believe the reason I stopped watching was that SmackDown was on Thursdays that time.
Yeah. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And CSI started coming on, too.
Right.
So I had a couple of things on Thursday already that I liked, and I wasn't going to change to Survivor.
Now, they originally put Survivor on Thursdays to counter NBC's must-see TV lineup, and eventually they got smart and put it on Wednesdays, which is where it is now.
Yeah, I've never thought to rewatch it. Although I always, I don't remember what was said exactly, but Susan Hawk's speech there at the end of season one.
Yeah.
How many people have really talked or like done as good a job with a speech as that?
I don't know. Hey, representing Wisconsin, by the way, Sue Hawk.
I would not have remembered that.
Yeah, there were actually two people from Wisconsin on the first season, so that was kind of cool. Sue Hawk and then Farmer Dirk, who got booted pretty early. I think he was sick.
So
they booted him so he could get medical attention or whatever. But definitely the most memorable season of Survivor, because it was the first, and I would say the very last episode of season one with the final four was just epic. Sue gets booted, then Rudy, and then Richard Hatch wins the million after Sue Hawk's speech about rats and snakes. Everybody still quotes that to this day, so...
Oh, outstanding.
Yeah, epic stuff. I was cheering for Rudy, but...
Oh, yeah. I think everyone had a lot of people had a soft spot for him.
Sure, absolutely.
As they should have.
There's no doubt if he had won that last challenge and made it to the finals, he would have beat anybody. So...
Yeah, you know what, and that was the other thing, like, I was even getting myself into shape to make sure, I was like, man, you know what, I can school some of these idiots in these challenges. I was like, it wouldn't be a problem.
Well, it's funny you mentioned that, because season two, they had one of the worst challenge contestants ever, Mitchell Olsen. And that was my first instinct. Like, they cast Mitchell Olsen over you, you know? Like, okay.
He hung around long enough to be that terrible at his at contest too. Then.
Oh, he lasted four episodes, so there were four challenges that he sucked. He was, how about Sean Bradley? You remember him? The old basketball player?
Yeah.
He was about 7 foot tall and about 75 pounds, roughly. Very weak and terrible at everything. So...
So, well, yeah, no, that fits Sean Bradley to a T.
Right, exactly. I think it's an apt comparison. That team was pretty fucked up in the early going. They had an old lady, and she's always an easy boot early. Old people are always easy boots. And then they had this military guy who was accused of smuggling beef jerky in with him, and you're not supposed to smuggle food in with you. So those were the first three boots for that team. And, yeah, I mean...
That's hilarious. How many people have smuggled food in?
It's only happened twice that I can think of. Kel Gleason with the beef jerky, and then in season 6, Amazon, one of the women smuggled in a candy bar. And they never figured out which woman it was. I have a theory, but that's, you know, whatever.
Pure speculation.
My theory is that it was the girl laughing about it. While everybody
gotcha.
Else was kind of angry or defensive, there was one girl laughing. So.
I would think that would set things off in that that light.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh man. Yeah, no, I don't. And you know what? I would have had no idea, like any type of. You guys were talking about all. You and Eric were talking about the strategy today.
Sure.
I would have had no idea. What to do in that department. Like, I might have failed in that department. Although,
well, I'll tell you what, season 2 was a whole lot easier for strategy. You know? There wasn't not really until Rob Sesternino in the Amazon season did strategy really become really important. It was mostly just stay loyal to your tribe, keep the strongest members and vote out the old and the weak and hope to win challenges and go as far as you can kind of thing. So,
gotcha.
You know, there weren't hidden immunity idols and there weren't as much scheming and plotting as there is now. So.
Oh, okay. I guess I'm not surprised. You kind of start to you see people exploiting the loopholes there in the early going.
Yeah.
And then you know, you've got to throw that kind of stuff in to make things more interesting.
Mm-hmm. Oh, they've had a lot of stupid twists over the years. This season has really dialed it back, which makes it better, in my opinion. So.
No. Yeah, no, there were a couple of times where I did, like, tune in for an episode or two, and I was just like, oh my gosh, there's just too much going on now.
Sure. You kind of got to follow it from the beginning to know who everybody is and what everybody's doing.
Right.
It's not really a show you can jump in the middle of the train tracks on, you know?
Okay. Yeah, no, I haven't, yeah... I guess I haven't tried anything to tried to start that at any point. Like, I just don't watch too many of those shows just in general.
Yeah.
The fact that I've been sucked into watching the only reality show that I think I watch currently is Jersey Shore, just because my girl does.
Gotcha.
And since she puts up with this wrestling nonsense, I figure I can hand her about an hour every week.
You owe her one, yeah.
Yeah, if she's taken 3 for 1 at least, if not more at some junctures, like, okay, I think I can suffer with this.
Mm. Now, I promised I wouldn't bring up Honey Boo Boo. So, oops, I just brought it up.
Yeah, did you guys talk about the South Park with her on it?
I have not seen South Park in 2 seasons, so what happened?
Oh, they had a whole episode surrounding Honey Boo Boo there.
Okay.
But Cartman was trying to out Honey Boo Boo, Honey Boo Boo.
Mm.
And it had introduced me to some of the things that family eats, and it just made me ill hearing about the ketchup and butter on spaghetti noodles.
Yum.
Oh man, oh. Just go with some ramen noodles, really. You're probably better off.
Ramen noodles, a very good value, by the way. spoken like a true college student, I know.
Yeah, when my aunts were in trouble, they would use those and then put tomato sauce on them because it was a cheaper way to buy noodles.
Okay. That works?
Yep. Yep, don't need to use the packet. And I always say that's another good dog story is that one time I, because I'll still buy a case and, you know, have maybe like one a week. Mm-hmm. And the one time I left them out on the landing, went up and took a shower, I came down. Or no, my ex-wife and I might have gone out. But we came back, or I came downstairs, and he had literally, Cayenne had finished off half of the case. Like, he'd eaten dried, half a case of dried noodles and left all of the seasoning packets all over the floor.
Yeah. Wow.
Usually they don't go for things that don't smell. I was really kind of shocked that he ate them with that many dried noodles.
Yeah, that's interesting. That would not be my first choice.
Yeah, I was a little surprised. I called them noodles for quite a while after that.
Oh, that's funny. That's great.
Oh, man.
Just hungry.
Yeah, no, poor guy. I probably didn't feed him enough. I probably only fed him like six cups a day at that point.
Starving.
Yeah.
So.
Well, there was. We are starving. There we go. We are starving for some wrestling talk.
Oh my God.
Right. Right.
You should be ashamed of yourself.
Well, I would have starved if I went on Survivor too. So,
we'll
tie the whole thing together.
Hey, one more thing about Australian Outback. That was one of the hardest seasons on people physically. Like Elizabeth, who later became Elizabeth Hasselbeck. All right, she was on that season. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
She could have been on her tribe, huh? That would have been fun. Bad to look
up
at.
Up on an island. You would have, I would have tried. Like, she wasn't Hasselbeck at that point. She probably wasn't even famous.
No, she was not at all famous. But she was very, very taken, I'll tell you that. Because Colby Donaldson told the story. She was on the other tribe as him, so he was, like, checking her out during challenges and stuff, right? And he was like, God, I gotta talk to her at some point. So then the tribes merged with 10 people left, and he finally got her alone, and he was talking to her, and all she would talk about is how much she missed her boyfriend. And he's like, motherfucker, you know?
That is outstanding. Yeah, you know what? I might have watched that because I did remember Colby when you bring his name up.
Colby, one of the more dominant challenge performers in Survivor history. A real, you know, I don't know, like, as far as Survivor goes, he's a hero. You know, one of the heroic performers. So.
Oh, okay.
And a great guy with super white teeth. So.
Yeah, you know, I was almost surprised that he didn't get more than 15 minutes out of that that deal there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, he was a good-looking guy. Yeah, like you said, he seemed about as nice as you can get.
Yep.
I'm surprised.
Going back to what I was saying, though, what they didn't show on the air, everybody was, like, really sick and weak. Elizabeth was losing her hair. And at one point had to be helicoptered to a medical facility to get IV fluid. So.
Damn.
Just really suffering that season. That was a hard season. So.
Yeah, well, that would have been fun. I would have loved that. I definitely would have starved then, evidently.
You absolutely would have.
Oh man, well, that would be one way to lose weight.
You gotta watch your figure. You live on one scoop of rice every day. So.
Oh, I always forgot about the rationing of the food.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, and you had to travel like X number of miles to get to the well every day.
Yeah. And actually, that season they ran out of food, and they had to trade their tarps and shelter equipment for more food. So, the more I talk about that season, the more it sounds appealing, huh? I wish you were on.
But I would have been famous, damn it.
Yeah, right.
Oh, man. Yeah, no, I would have been forgotten about at this point.
A part of me really wants to go on Survivor, like assuming I got in shape, but a part of me knows I would just go off on everybody and be the first one voted out, you know?
Yeah, well, and that was the other funny thing. I'm like, I don't know, like, at first, you know, you think, oh, yeah, no, I couldn't lie to anyone. And then I'm just sitting there going, oh, my gosh, if I can keep a straight face around Idiot Intern, like, there is no reason I shouldn't just be able to lie straight to someone's face.
That is totally Survivor training, dealing with that guy. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Just be like, okay, whatever. Oh, man. And, yeah, well, and even just listening to Baby Mama Drama's nonsense is just another one. Like, okay, sure.
Well, what's going on with there? Can you talk about that? Or is that a touchy situation based on where you're looking?
Supposedly, finally, rumor has it that I will finally be acquiring money for my services, which would be nice.
That would be wonderful, yes.
It's only been 6 months. Oh, man, which is, I can't believe how long it's been. Like, it's just like, oh, my gosh. It's getting to that point. It's just like, this has just been way too long.
Yeah.
Oh, man. It's just like, oh, okay, yeah, it's be a couple months. It's just like, how does this turn into half a year?
Okay, 2 months are okay. That's fine.
Yeah. 2 months is doable. 6 months is getting a little ridiculous.
Yep.
And then just to starting to see something out of that is even more ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
how would he get along without you? Like, what if it was an apartment and the landlord knocking on the door every 30 days, you know?
Yeah, no, I have no idea. Like, because and he's had a job for, like, 3 or 4 months now.
Okay.
Like, he was in real funk when he first came over, especially since, the more I had been working for baby mama's dad, which was a brilliant plan.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Yeah, he was in a little funk, and that's cool. Then after that, it's been steady, and it's just like, you know, there's nothing like lavish spending that makes me go, hey, what the fuck? It's just like, where is it going to? Like, I don't understand. I know there's a paycheck involved.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what exactly is happening here?
Right. Yeah,
so
a part of me really wants to know what the hell's going on.
There's supposedly lawsuits involved, but from what we can tell, we haven't been able to spot those.
Okay. More
and,
lies, maybe? Don't know.
Yeah. It's kind of interesting. Yeah, it's like one of those things where you know that they're just there's some stuff that's not right,
mm-hmm.
and it's hard determining what is and what isn't. Like there's so much open space that
sure
you're kind of like
yeah.
And the guy can talk well enough that it also makes it you know, hard to distinguish too.
Gotcha.
So yeah, it's been interesting to say the least. Oh, and my favorite here recently has been I bought a new faucet upstairs. And,
okay.
Mr. Fix-It there, his never owned his own premises.
Of course. Right.
So he has done no housework, and I'm not saying that I've done a lot.
No, but you have some base in knowledge, yeah.
Yeah, and I kind of work in the field, too, so that at least helps out in some instances.
Mm-hmm.
No big deal. I'll get that installed, and it's been, like, it's been, like, 2 weeks, I think, now.
Of course.
So hopefully
it's
going to
be until
the
end of time, you know?
Yeah, hopefully I will get to that this weekend
since
I have some free time with the girlfriend working. So
Gotcha.
That should give me enough free time to get that puppy popped on there.
Sure.
So yeah, no, kind of just dealing with that. It's just there are a lot of things that I probably could bring into Survivor. It's just like, okay, sure. Like, when you just know that someone's just completely off their rocker.
Yeah.
Because what were you talking about? Oh, always do the backstabbing later.
Well, yeah, no. One of my favorite players is coming back for this season, Jonathan Penner. And he got voted out last week because basically he failed to make a Final Four alliance with Lisa. What you have to do is always say yes to the person's faith. Yeah, man, that sounds good. All right, let's shake on it. Yeah, that sounds great. You and me till the end, no problem. Always take the deal to their face, and if you have to backstab them, fuck it. You know?
Yeah, no, I think I could pull that off without a problem.
mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, sure, sounds great. Mm-hmm.
Right.
You're so going down.
You're totally gone, fucker. Yeah. That's how you got to do it, man. And I guess Penner was too honest. I don't know what the fuck was his problem, but he let other people make a Final Four deal and work against him, you know? So,
gotcha.
Shame on him.
Yeah, you know, if you do go into it having studied the art of the survivor, I would think that would be a pretty basic rule there.
I mean, you expect better out of a returning player, you know? You just do.
Oh. Yeah, and how many returning players were there? Was he the only one?
No. See, they started out with three tribes, and each tribe got one returning player. So.
Oh, okay.
At some point they merged. And basically, everyone was against him from the start of the merge on, so he should have known better and known that his time was up and take any deal you can get, you know? So.
Gotcha. Is it over now?
No, we're down to 5.
So yeah, literally last week he got booted then.
Yeah.
Okay.
He got booted at 7, which is what he got booted at last time he played too.
No. Oh, okay. Oh man, well that's kind of tough. I'd imagine, or the other people who came back still on the show, or did they get booted earlier?
Well, Russell Swan, it was already gone. He got booted 4th because his team lost the first 4 challenges. So. Yeah. They started out with 6, and, you know, they lost the 4th challenge in a row, and the other two people were working together, so goodbye, Russell Swan.
Yeah, it's kind of a terrible situation to get to find yourself in.
To be on the bad team is just disheartening. So... But the other returning player is still in.
Oh, okay, good deal.
And actually, it ties things together perfectly because the other returning player who's still in is Michael Scoopin, who was in season 2.
Is he just going, dude, this is a cakewalk. Back in season 2...
You didn't hear what happened to him. He had to be evacuated. He fell in the fire.
Oh, that, okay, yeah. The more you mention it, season 2, the more I must have at least caught, I had to have caught more of it than I thought.
Mm-hmm.
Because wasn't there a brunette with curly hair that kind of made it at the end? I'm trying to think of. Or am I thinking season 1?
Oh, I don't know. I'd have to look at a picture of everybody. I don't remember what they look like.
Gotcha, yeah.
Oh, I feel like I'm going to throw up. There we go.
Oh, man, Survivor fever.
Yeah, catch it. But you were going to bring up a wrestling-related topic before I got us off track. So what would that be?
Oh well, that's I'm trying to there is a whole lot of news about Elizabeth Hasselbeck here. Oh yeah, episode 6.
Yep.
Oh, Tina Wesson. Oh, more cast info. There we go.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Jerry.
Oh, yeah, you mean Jerry. Okay, yep. Mm-hmm.
That's who I'm thinking, because she was in Playboy later. That's,
yep.
I wouldn't have been able to tell you that Tina had won that one.
Yeah, Colby should have won. But whatever. Who cares?
Well, there's definitely a lot of who cares going on in the WWE these days.
Absolutely.
A definite who cares segment was... I can't believe all the time they've taken to with AJ just to throw her big suit out the window.
Yeah. What a waste. I don't even like her, and it's a waste. There's just no consistency in the booking.
Yeah, like, I mean, it just made no sense to not, because what, yeah. The TLC is next Sunday.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Not this coming Sunday, but yeah, the one after. It's just like
the
really,
following Sunday. Yeah.
Yeah, you couldn't have them in a tag match this week, and then do something dumb like a pick your opponents, kind of a gimmick or whatever for this coming Monday. And,
right.
You know, all's good. You have a feud. There's something, there's some type of build up there for the match.
Mm-hmm.
And, Tamina's just kind of back on the screen. It's just like, why give her the whole makeover if you're just going to shit
yep.
her again?
Yeah, right. Exactly.
There's just all kinds of levels of confusion with that one.
Yeah. No clear vision with anything right now.
Yeah. oh, shit. You know what? News that we did not report on. Fuck it. I'm not even going to worry about Raw.
The one thing that
we didn't mention on the site proper was CM Punk going in for emergency knee surgery.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think, since we haven't covered it in print, we should at least cover it in audio, come to think of it.
Okay.
Because really, fuck it, Raw's a couple of days old, and
yeah.
that's whatever.
And I'm a couple days past caring. But do they have, like, a timeline for Punk? What's the extent of it?
The last I saw on .net this morning, because things were a little fucking out of control at work. What the hell? It sounded like he was going to be ready for, what is that?
Royal Rumble?
Royal Rumble, yeah.
Okay. Well, good. Because they don't really have a good backup plan.
Yeah, well, and they did announce their backup plan, if you want the old spoiler alert, since it's, it gets revealed on SmackDown.
Oh.
So, yeah, we'll give you about 5 seconds if you didn't read the news. Get out. Get out now and come back later.
Or keep listening, whatever.
Yeah, we don't give a shit.
Yeah, we don't give a shit.
It's going to be Kane, Daniel Bryan, and Ryback against The Shield.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Considering that they've attacked all three of those persons, I would imagine it is at least in some ways a logical choice to go with.
Yeah. That's fairly decent. I'll go with that.
A six-man main event is not exactly an ideal thing, but...
This is not quite on the level of Hall and Nash against Sting, Luger, and Savage with Hogan coming out, you know? not quite at that tier. So.
No, not, I would say not, I dare say not even a little bit. and Jeremy and I kind of talked about it in our one little lunch conversation there. But is the WWE going to be smart enough to have the Shield coming out of this thing looking half decent?
You'd hope so, but I have no hope with them anymore. So I don't know. They'll probably lose. And try to imagine what the right thing to do would be and then predict the opposite is my strategy. So...
Yeah, that it would be nice if they looked strong and beat Daniel Bryan. I would think would end up having to be the one who gets picked on.
Absolutely. That would be the most logical thing to do. So.
Yeah, they could really use that if they're going to extend this feud in any length.
Knowing WWE, it'll probably get changed to Shield versus John Cena 3-on-1 with Cena pinning all of them at the same time. That would probably be the right thing to do, you know.
Oh man, yeah, it would so be the right thing to do. Yeah. Because then when they go down the tubes, we really get our full dose of Fandango.
Yes, indeed.
Oh man. Yeah, no, that's it. I was almost going to ask the other dumb question of whether they actually have some type of line of thinking behind who the Shield is attacking, or if that's just going to turn into a garbled mess too by the time everything's said and done.
Just totally random, you know, and they'll figure it out as they go. That would be my guess.
Yeah, I was, I guess, debating whether they were just targeting people that they felt were unfairly getting pushes or, you know, title shots, I suppose, since everyone, or, no, Kane and Dave, well, yeah, Kane and Dave are the champs already.
You would hope that's their motivation, getting title shots. That would be probably the best way to play it. Attack the champions or whatever, I guess.
Now, yeah, but then, well, and they did say it was unfair for, whatever.
Yeah. Yep.
I mean, that is about the extent of me caring at this point. It's like, okay, I suppose I'll watch and,
yes.
Because because how long has it been now? It's been a couple of months since what's his name, Gewurz, was shown the door.
Right.
And I do believe we actually did that show when he left. And was it, our conclusion, wasn't it, because it's going through the same editor, it's not going to matter?
Yep, absolutely. We both agreed on that. It's really Vince calling the shots, so it doesn't matter who's writing it. You're writing it through Vince McMahon's prism anyway, so it doesn't make any difference. He's the one that needs to step aside, but he never will. So...
No, and he certainly gave away a cheap appearance this week, too. It's like, oh, my Lord, like, that's what you're coming back for?
Right. It used to be epic. It used to be, like, main event stuff. And now it's just like, oh, there he is.
Yeah, it's like, oh, he's going to pick on Vicky to make the correct event that she should be making. It's just like, well, I'll tell you what, why don't you just make a normal GM who just books properly and doesn't screw anyone over?
Seriously!
And then we don't need to have this segment, and we don't need to waste Vince on a nothing segment.
That's exactly the right word. It was just a waste, you know? He could be used properly to pop a rating. And it was just wasted on something that shouldn't have even existed, as you pointed out, in the first place. In what world would there be an authority figure who favors one side over the other? How is that smart? How is that logical?
Right. Yeah, no, it isn't at all.
No. I get where they'd want to use it for a while, but it's been, what, 10, 15 years they've been using that same formula. So, I'm sick of it.
Yeah, because it started with, I feel like it started right there at the Attitude Era. So, yeah, I mean,
yeah.
That long.
Yeah.
It's just like, oh, my gosh. Just, 15 years of the same thing is just is way too long.
Exactly. Because before that, it was like Gorilla Monsoon just making fair decisions for everybody. That was much better.
Yeah, but they just can't seem to get away from that for whatever reason.
Right. They're so stuck in a rut, you know. Everything just treading water. They're not making any forward progress.
Yeah, and I mean the two companies that, in any way, shape, or form can. At least present some type of fresh ideas really presenting any fresh ideas.
Right. I don't know. I mean, is putting the belt on Austin Aries, does that count? That's kind of different, you know?
But I mean, I don't know if it's radical enough. Like, I mean, I guess to me, like, just thinking back to how ECW kind of made the other two guys kind of push the boundaries.
Yep.
I like Austin Aries. I think he's great, and I'm glad they put the belt on him.
Yeah.
But it's not going to make the WWE break any new barriers.
You're right. Really, ROH should be pushing both of them, you know?
Right.
So ROH is the real failure here. They should be the ones offering a true alternative. And I don't know, maybe it's the talent roster is so horrible. You know, that's probably a large part of it, but they're failing. So.
Yeah, and... I don't know if Nigel McGuinness has been much better in a way than Jim Cornette. I think he's playing his part a little bit better. So,
yeah.
I mean, there is that. But, Delirious was, it still just starts from them just having that completely screwed up schedule.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Their TV schedule, I mean, it's less consistent than Prime Wrestling.
Right.
I mean, it should not be less consistent than a regional program. I mean, I know that they travel more and whatnot, but they should really be more regular than they are.
Prime Wrestling is run very professionally. For as low on the totem pole as it is.
I mean, that's why I always say that I enjoy it. It's just like, okay, I understand it's basic. I could probably bag, and I've said it before, I could probably bag on the wrestlers more than I do.
Sure.
But I also know that these guys are literally just learning how to do this.
Yeah, you feel like it's your hometown minor league baseball team or something, you know? You can just kind of enjoy it for what it is and hope they get better and hope they do well.
Yeah, no, because, I mean, it's always fun when I see those guys getting, like, Zema Ion, who's in TNA now. And, Derek Bateman wasn't around for very long in Prime Wrestling, but...
Right, but he
I'm
was
trying
in
to
there.
Think it's... Oh, well, not that I thought that he was all that good to start with. That Flip Kendrick went to TNA, too, because the TNA swiped a couple of them.
Okay.
And what's his name? Johnny Gargano still is really good. Like, I'm kind of surprised. I don't know if he's waiting for the WWE to actually get a hold of him or if he's just not wanting to deal with TNA.
Am I wrong? Was TNA sniffing around him? I seem to remember.
Well, the rumor mill that I had heard from a couple of different places was that the WWE was sniffing around.
Oh, okay. Mhm.
And I mean, they did have and you know what? He hasn't debuted yet. I completely forgot about that because Kevin Nash worked with him. Big Rig Brody Lee was signed shortly after their match last year by the WWE.
Gotcha.
And the one guy, it's actually kind of funny, the WWE signed Matthew Justice, and then like he got tired of developmental like less than a year later and came back and hasn't really been on Prime TV at all.
Gotcha.
He's been on about a handful of times since making his glorious return.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what the story is behind that, but
whatever it is, it's glorious. I'm sure.
Yeah. No. I'm just saying. Yeah. I'm thinking you made a mistake. Like I'm just throwing that one out there.
Right. Right.
They had to have been paying you well enough to do that.
Yeah.
And plus, you lived in Florida instead of Ohio, so, you know, just take it.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, it's always cool seeing some of those guys move on. And I'm actually almost half surprised. Brody Lee is kind of like their perfect kind of, they love those guys that are 6'9 and about 300 pounds.
Okay.
So... I'm almost surprised he hasn't moved along quicker because he seemed pretty polished. Cause he'd worked for Ring of Honor for some too.
Yeah.
So I don't know how much polishing that guy would really need.
Yeah, right. Should be just about there.
Yeah.
You would think.
I would think.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I don't want to think anymore, actually.
No, you want to turn the brain off?
Yeah, are you ready to turn your brain off?
I'm ready to pull a Boston Red Sox management team and turn my brain off, yeah.
Outstanding. Well, I'm going to go grab... hold on. What? It's at DeFrango11, at Dusty G-Bank, at Granny Mays, at Stunt Granny.
Yes.
If you somehow don't follow it already.
Right.
And you can
total
find
failure
us.
On your part.
You can find us on Facebook.
Absolutely.
And you can email us at stuntgranny@gmail.com, I believe. Not that I ever check
absolutely.
The mail.
Absolutely.
And you can post comments. Go ahead. Leave them. We don't give a shit.
Tell us how great we are. Tell us how beautiful we are.
Yeah. Tell us
tell me
how
why
you...
I feel like throwing up right now. Go ahead, tell me.
Oh, well, if you're if you have morning sickness, I don't want to know about it.
I do. I'm the angel of the morning sickness. There you go.
Yikes.
Everything gets tied around real nice and neat on this show. So.
Oh, man. So, yeah, I think that's just about all the plugs. So now I will go grab a Sippy Time beer.
Excellent.
Not one that will be reviewed, but I will go grab one and enjoy the rest of my evening here.
Beautiful. All right. Well, for Kevin DeFrango, for Juice Newton and Nick Swisher, I am Dusty Giebing, and this has been Stunt Granny Audio number 210, and we'll try to do better next time. Yeah.
Yeah.